Hey there, it's Dr. James Bryant. I often get asked, how can I really take my career to the next level? How do I build wealth while still excelling at my job? Well, today's episode is going to tackle these questions head on. We're diving deep into the world of career transitions and wealth building with someone who's lived it, an engineer who successfully pivoted into a high-powered sales role. Get ready for some real talk about making power moves in your career and finances. Trust me, you're going to want to take notes on this one. So grab a cup of coffee, find a quiet spot, and let's dig into five power moves to grow your career and build wealth. As an engineering leader, you know firsthand that achieving work-life balance can be hard. Many business owners struggle with the balance between their personal lives and their work. This leads to stress and a feeling of regret. But that's not the case for the listeners of the Engineer Your Success podcast with Dr. James Bryant. This podcast provides tools, tips, and techniques to help you achieve success both in business and in life. Tune in. Let's engineer your success today. I want to welcome you to the Engineer Your Success podcast. My name is Dr. James Bryant, your host for the show. This podcast provides tools, tips, and techniques to help you achieve success in business and in life. It is my pleasure to guide you on your journey to designing and living a life where you are winning at work and at home. I hope you are having a great week. This week, we have another dynamic guest, Ms. Tiffany Ward.
Hey, James. Thank you for having me. Happy to be here. Sure. I'm born and raised in Richmond, Virginia. I'm still here to this day. I went to school at Old Dominion University, which is in Norfolk, Virginia. And then I got my master's at Virginia Commonwealth University, which is here in Richmond, Virginia. And my focus there was business with an emphasis in IT. I am currently working for a Fortune 100 company as a sales executive, selling data center solutions to government counterparts. And I have an awesome little boy who's 3 years old who keeps me busy. And I invest in real estate passively and actively. So quite a busy schedule for me.
It absolutely is. We'll get into a little bit of all of that. But what I want to talk about right now is the transition. You IT, business background, now you're doing sales. What was your career arc?
In the beginning, I moved away for college. Okay. I was going back to school to study computer science. So I knew I wanted some sort of engineering, IT technical role.
Okay.
My company at the time called me. I had interviewed 6 to 9 months earlier.
Oh, wow.
Did not do well in the interview. Mm-hmm. They called me from a database and said, hey, are you still looking for a job? We want to interview you. So I moved back across country to start my career. And I held a number of roles there. I was a project manager, a Windows server admin, and then also a technical writer.
Oh, wow.
During that time, I got several certifications because the money that I was making was not enough. So it was like Google top IT certifications. Mm-hmm. And I just started taking tasks and getting certs. I got my project management professional. I got my ITIL foundations V3 expert. Okay. I got A+. I got a network plus, like just a whole battery of certifications, which I felt would prepare me to continue to move up the corporate ladder, get the next job. And I also went back to school and got my master's degree. So at that time, I went back to school. After I did all of those things, get a job with the next company, and I was able to double my salary almost immediately.
Oh, wow.
I did go into an engineering role. So I was a sales engineer. Mm-hmm. My company took me to their headquarters for a number of months where they taught me bits and bytes and spindles and what is capacity, what is RAID, all the IT storage terms. Mm-hmm. From there, I was able to quickly increase my income. I was able to travel to visit customers and pretty much sell storage solutions from an engineering perspective. Mm-hmm. Now, at this point, I am full sales. So I'm no longer an engineer.
Wait. You were always an engineer.
No longer an engineer by title. I'm always an engineer. And I think that background has helped me to be successful in this role.
Okay, so now I want to go back in a time machine. You said that first interview with the first company didn't go well. What were some of the main things that you learned from that interview that did not go well?
I had a couple that didn't go well.
Okay.
I would say for the person who's coming out of college, just researching the company that you're interviewing for seems pretty basic, but kind of understanding what they're doing, what their mission is, who they serve, their customer base. And then also knowing, like maybe reading through the job description, making sure that you can speak intelligently to some of those bullet points. Okay. So even as a college grad, like you don't have a whole lot of experience typically other than the courses that you take, but making sure that you can speak intelligently at a high level about the job description, I think will help you to land that first job outside of school.
Yeah. And I think that's important. Even as you progress through your career, that you're actually reading what you're applying for, making sure that you understand and you can tailor your key points and your messages to be able to match as best possible the things that they're looking for. So I really appreciate you and thank you for sharing that. When you were making this transition from engineer to full-time sales, what was the biggest challenge for you?
I really didn't have a choice. I don't know if that's good. So within, there are a lot of restructuring that goes on, a lot of layoffs that might happen. And so I had actually taken a job to specialize. So my company grew. One company acquired my current company. And so the job grew in what I would need to focus on. And so I said, hey, I want to specialize. So I took a role as a specialist. It was going to take me all over the world globally. And 1 to 2 months later, that whole role was just cut out. It was nixed.
Oh, wow.
And so the company, I was not laid off, but the company shuffled us around. Because of my personality and my ability to speak with others, if you think about most engineers, typically they're not the most social beings. So
come on.
Very general, but because I was able to be in front of customers, easily gain rapport with customers, and I was comfortable in that space, they thought that I would be a good fit for a sales role. So okay. I was almost forced into that role, but it actually ended up being a pretty good fit for me. So I enjoy the job. I am excelling at the job. We're heavily commission-based, so I make more money at the job. A lot of bonuses for me to switch over.
So there wasn't so much of a challenge to you making the transition. Here's the opportunity. You took advantage of the opportunity. Now you're excelling in that opportunity. So what would be some of your key pieces of advice for folks that want to get into sales? What are things that you would recommend that they do?
I would start with reading some different books on sales methods. Okay. It's great to have a familiarity with the jargon, the language. And I think in any industry, there's a lot of synonyms, acronyms, jargon that we use. So I would start to get familiar with that. I would also just practice your interaction with others, maybe your interpersonal skills, making sure that you're comfortable to communicate the message, make sure that you can get in front of a whiteboard. You know, for my profession, we have to get up on a whiteboard and write stuff out. A lot of it is reporting up and reporting down and managing expectations.
Okay.
So it's getting comfortable delivering good news, bad news, and everything in between. I would think that your technical competency is a skill for you, because a lot of true sales guys and girls don't have a lot of the technical know-how. If you are technically competent, your customers will attach to you and you'll resonate better with them than the guy who's just there to sell stuff. That's kind of my high-level opinion, leveraging your skill set to gain rapport and making sure that you can layer over some of those tools and techniques of selling, understanding what spin is, understanding how to report up, how to report down, managing expectations.
What were your thoughts about sales before you got into sales?
I did not like salespeople. I think most people don't like salespeople because we think of used car sales guys, right? We think of people that are just throwing anything and everything at you. We think of people who are trying to just squeeze every last dollar and penny out of you. I think typically most people don't think highly of sales professionals. I think what helped me is that I did come into that engineering role as a sales engineer. Our primary goal was to help the customer. We always said customer first, right? It doesn't matter what the bottom dollar is. And it did help at that time that I wasn't as incentive-based, commission-based. I kind of got a base salary through that role that you really need for your environment to make this work.
Yeah.
And so more so acting as a trusted advisor, that's how I like to put it. And then I just kind of grew from there as far as, you know, being a true salesperson.
Oh, that's awesome. I like that approach of being the trusted advisor. And I think anytime you have to deal with selling a product or service, you want to be that trusted advisor so that people can confide in you because they know you are there to help them. Are you going to make money? Absolutely. It's not about whether you make money, but at the heart of it, are you there to help yourself or to help them? You mentioned earlier that you're doing sales and also some other things in terms of real estate or investing beyond the W-2. Let's talk about that.
Yes. Fortunately, I grew up with savvy parents who were educated on the benefits of investing. So I knew early on to max out my 401k. As you're growing in your career, you might not be able to do that at the very beginning. But I took the company match, which I recommend everybody do at a minimum for their 401k or comparable program. Mm-hmm. From there, I would throw some money when I had it into the stocks.
Yeah.
So I don't know really what I was doing. I still don't know what I'm doing, but I typically take the big companies, right? Nowadays, it'd be Tesla, NVIDIA, maybe Nike.
Yeah.
And I throw some money into the stocks. And at that time, I also had an advisor, a financial advisor, and he would put some money. He'd say, hey, Tiffany, place your money here, here, here. I'd look at the companies and be like, okay, throw it over here. Sure. So over the years, that has evolved where I did get into some options trading, where I did learn how to research companies better, putting more money into the market long term. For me, that's dollar cost averaging, putting a little bit of money in every month. Understanding that I'm in my 30s now, I got until I'm 60, 70 to pull this money out. So I'm not hurt by the market fluctuations, which a lot of people are, depending on where they are in their career cycles. But for me, I'm a long-term investor at heart. I also realized that the top three ways to grow your wealth are through stocks, through business ownership, and through real estate. And so I knew that I like being a worker bee and getting my check. Getting my check every 2 weeks, like most of us. And so I said, hey, you know, I was doing the stock thing, which I just mentioned, but I also wanted to acquire real estate. And so I bought my first house at the age of 23. I didn't want to be a renter and I didn't want to live with my parents anymore. So I bought my first house, which was a HUD foreclosure. And a few years later, I was able to get invested in multifamily. So I bought a duplex and then a 10 unit and it grew from there.
Oh, that's awesome. And you also are doing short-term rentals as well? Talk a little bit about that.
I do some short-term rentals, some Airbnb. It's stressful, but it can be done somewhat passively. And I guess it just depends on your strategy.
Okay.
So the short-term rentals are active in that. So there's active and passive investments.
Mm-hmm.
It's active if you want to be the host, if you want to be the person that checks on the cleaners, if you want to be the person that's running over there to fix an issue, if they call you in the middle of the night.
Mm-hmm.
It can be passive if you partner with somebody who can be the host, if you want to just give your money to someone and you kind of automate that process. Mm-hmm. I am an active investor for short-term rentals. It does give me some tax advantages, which I'm trying to learn, but it does give you some tax advantages to be an Airbnb host.
Mm-hmm.
So that takes some time weekly to manage. I've also been doing some lending to fix and flippers. I will put out some money that they will use to buy a property, renovate it, and then I will get paid out once they're done with that project. So kind of a mixed bag of my investments.
So people talk about developing several different streams of income. And it sounds like that's what you have: the income from your W-2, you have the income from short-term rentals, you have the income from your growth in stocks, as well as in your investments in other properties. And so you are doing what people talk about in terms of creating multiple streams of income.
I'm doing my best. And again, I will say it all depends on your strategy. So for me, because I do have the full-time job, that is my main source of income. Mm-hmm. A lot of what I do is towards my retirement. I try to do those in my self-directed IRA accounts. I try to put money to the 401k, the 529, like all of these things that you might hear about. I'm really putting away money for tomorrow and reinvesting a lot of the proceeds. If you get a dividend, I reinvest that.
Yeah.
If I sell a property, I'm immediately trying to find the next deal to put that back in so that it's growing and earning money for me.
I know that you are not, and I'll be very clear, I'm not a financial advisor. You're not a financial advisor. We're not giving financial advice. We are talking about the steps and things that we have done, acting on advice that we've received from others. But I know that it's also important to you to be able to talk about wealth and to educate other people about wealth in general. Can we talk about that a little bit?
Yes. One of the ways that I help others locally, I have a multifamily meetup or mastermind. Mm-hmm. We meet monthly and I share all the knowledge that I have acquired. I've paid money for. I just give it away for free because sometimes you have to bridge the gap. A lot of times it is a knowledge gap and it's an accessibility gap. Mm-hmm. Another thing I do frequently is posting on social media different tips and tools that people can use to increase their wealth. I think it is critically important to educate everyone, but especially the younger generation as they're coming up, to have some basic fundamental concepts of saving, of giving, investing, mm-hmm. and then also helping people. At work, I mentor a couple people, new guys and girls who are just coming into our business. I'm like, hey, did you put money in your 401k this month? Automate it, set it up. Mm-hmm. I definitely try to give tips where I can. And I talk very minimally because you have to be careful in the corporate environment sometimes. Yeah. I talk to my colleagues about what I do, which sparks interest. And so mm-hmm. you're helping the young people, you're helping everyday people through your social media channels. And then you're also helping your colleagues to just say, hey, this is a different investment vehicle. We're all making good money. You got to think of some different strategies. So that's kind of the ways that I try to give back and help others and just impress upon others why they should be investing and why the earlier you start, the better.
Okay. So the next question that I have is, it sounds like you have taken the time and effort to invest in yourself. You talked about sharing the knowledge that you've acquired and giving it away for free. Let's talk a little bit about personal development and the role that that has played in your growth over the years.
I feel like I'm a lifelong learner, so I don't think that I will ever stop listening to podcasts, attending webinars, and going to conferences. That's a lot of what I've done. Mm-hmm. I'm a very formal learner. My mom is an educator, and I think some of those practices and principles trickle down to me. Mm-hmm. I would say, you know, I always knew that I was going to go to college, which was a blessing. Mm-hmm. I always knew I was going to get my master's. There was even some thoughts about getting a doctorate.
Okay.
I didn't go there. Didn't go there with all the certifications. And then my investing life, just listening to podcasts, going mm-hmm. to meetups, going to different conferences. I've had several mentorships as well, which I think are critical to your success and really helping you to move ahead. I used to think YouTube University was all I needed, and it is a good vehicle. Mm-hmm. But I would say a mentor or coach is going to drastically speed up your success. For me, I've always tried to invest in myself because I knew they would pay me back tenfold. And I always knew, they say, the books that you read today are who you will become, what you will practice, and how you would think in 5 years. Mm-hmm. So I always knew, and I'm always kind of future thinking. So what can I do today to improve my tomorrow? Mm-hmm. Whether that's, can I retire when I'm 60 or 70 or whatever the retirement age will be at that time? Can I put my son through school without a lot of student debt? Can I live the life that I want to live? And so for me, I try to stay future thinking and not live in the day so much. I heavily believe in investing in myself so that I can be better for future generations, my son and those who come after me.
No, I think that's great, Tiffany. I appreciate your candidness and you sharing the different arcs in your journey and what you're doing to build wealth and your transition from engineer to saleswoman. I think it's been absolutely great. So I have a few more questions as we're coming toward the end of our time. Do you have any questions for me?
Ooh. I think I was expecting that. I don't know. I mean, I don't know. As James mentioned, we've known each other for some years and we've had some coaching, mentoring relationships. And I think the biggest challenge that I always have is picking the one thing.
Yeah.
So like, what is your top tip or two that helps me and others to finally pick the one thing to work on?
That's a good one. So she's reverse coaching session type thing. So she's asking me how I would answer that question. It, to me, a lot of it goes back to the Engineer's Blueprint for Success and the four steps that I use. Focus on what matters most. Envision what life looks like when you do have that focus. Design a plan that actually will get you there and execute that plan. But it all starts with understanding what really matters most to you. And what matters most is going to change depending on where you are in life. What mattered to me when I was 20 was different when I was 30 and married and had kids. It's different now that my kids are thinking about college. Pretty soon, 5 years or so, we'll be empty nesters. So what's really important to me starts to change depending on the season. So for you, thinking about where you are, and for a person that's listening to this episode, you think about where you are, what really matters to you right now? Is it growing your finances? Is it growing your education? Is it preparing you to start your own business? Is it finally doing that hobby or activity that you've always wanted to do because it brings you joy? Once you determine what that is, then the next step is, hey, what does life look like when I'm doing that? What are the steps that I need to take to get me from where I am now to that point? And then it's getting the support that you need to execute that plan. Did that answer your question?
It does answer my question. We can spend a whole nother hour on that, digging deeper into that, but it does.
And so my last question for you is just an opportunity for you to let people know how to get in contact with you and any parting words that you have for our podcast listening audience.
I can be found on most social media platforms, Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn. Typically, I'm Wealth with Tiffany on most of those platforms, or Tiffany M. Ward. I think you can find me there.
And we'll include some links to that in the show notes.
Mm-hmm. My email is utmostcapital@gmail.com. To anybody looking to make a transition, get some trusted advisors and friends around you, a coach or a mentor that can help you think through what your priorities are, how to pick the one thing, and how to move forward with confidence. And I would just say, keep learning. You're never too old to learn something new. And it's okay if things shift and change. Just always be open to new ideas, new concepts. Because if you're not learning, you're dying. So
if you're not learning, you are dying. Hey, Tiffany, I'm going to end this podcast episode like I end every podcast episode. And that is this. Many people know what to do. Fewer people know how to do it. And there's a select group of people that actually follow through and do it. And they're able to live the life of their dreams. I want to thank you for being part of that select few. I really appreciate you coming to the show and really enjoyed our conversation.
Thanks for having me, Dr. James. I appreciate it.
Thank you for listening to Engineer Your Success with Dr. James Bryant. Do me a favor and subscribe to the podcast. Leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast player. Many people know what to do. Fewer people know how to do it, and a small fraction of people actually do it. I believe that you can have success both in business and in life, and it's my passion to guide you on your path to engineering your success. Thanks.